Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in Psalm 76, verse 1. To the chief musician on Neginoth. And of course, we remember that's a instrumental music, a poem set to music, stringed instruments, a psalm or song of Asaph. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle. And of course, Salem is a early name of Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There broke he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword in the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. And of course it says Selah there. And perhaps during that reprieve, they would have a musical interlude of some sort if we were going to set this to stringed instruments. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of the prey. And, you know, really the desire of my heart would be for someone to take on the challenge of setting the entire book of Psalms to music, you know, according to what little instruction we have here in the scripture. But there is some instruction there, and it would be a beautiful thing, I think, to hear the songs sung. And of course, I would prefer to hear them sung in English because that's what I understand. But it's, we get some of the choruses and some of the songs that praise and worship that we sing in the congregations. We see some phrases, or perhaps some entire psalms taken from the scriptures, though that would be rare to sing an entire psalm, but more or less we see some phrases, and sometimes we see omissions too. But I think it would be a beautiful thing to have the entire psalms set to music, and, you know, perhaps I'll have to wait for the resurrection to have my wish granted, to see that desire fulfilled. But it would just be a beautiful thing as I go through it. These are some of the thoughts that I meditate upon and things that come to my mind. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cast judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, and Selah again, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Vow and pay unto Yahuwah your God, let all that be round him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. And those that do not have that fear of God, the kings of the earth, yes, it will be a terrible thing for them when they breathe their last breath and the terror comes upon them suddenly. And unfortunately, the scripture says that he sets up the basis of men to be the rulers of earth. So apparently that will be the end of most of them. It will be an end of terror. Psalm 77 and verse 1. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? His mercy clean gone forever. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. In other words, he will remember the favorable years. I will remember the works of Yahuwah. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And that reminds me of that song. It goes, our God is an awesome God. Well, we sing it a little differently in my house, because if our God is an awesome God, is he just one of those gods? Are there other gods that are awesome also? Are there other awesome gods beside the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the creator of the universe? Is there another awesome God? So how is he an awesome God? Now we sing it, our God, Yahuwah, is the awesome God. And that makes him the one and only. So I've revised the words of the song a little bit there. Our God. And you, instead of saying our God, you could even say the name. Yahuwah is the awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Yahuwah is the awesome God. You can say our God because our God is Yahuwah. It says, that's what it says in the scripture, that our God, Yahuwah, and calls him by name and said he is the God of Israel. Just made me think of that. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. And perhaps that is a way of speaking of that first day that we just read about in from Genesis there, when the waters were troubled. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78. Maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of Yahuwah and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. I will open my mouth in a parable. Indeed. Verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And, you know, that's, for me, I often think about, my mission, the mission that the Heavenly Father has given me, my ministry here on earth. And I think about things like the Reformation and what am I trying to do? I'm not trying to do a Reformation. I don't want to reform the old things. I want to reestablish the things that our Heavenly Father desired from the beginning. I want to go back. Some things cannot be reformed. Some things should not be reformed. And I believe that when you try to reform something, well, you have to work slowly with it. Sometimes it's better just to abolish something totally and start all over again. And so it was with the Reformation. They were trying to reform the Catholic Church. And so we have all the Catholic daughters. And sometimes the reform worked better than other times. But I believe the best thing to do is to get out your scripture, to get out your Bible, and say, forget all of everything that's ever been done. What does God want us to do? Well, I know what he wants us to do. I see here, he says that he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. I want people to learn God's law. Because he said, after those days, in that time, of course, he was talking about the last days, after the Messiah comes, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, that he would write his law in our minds and upon our hearts, and we would be his people, and he would be our God. That's the times that we're in. The law, written in our minds and our hearts, that we might not sin against him. We should make them known to our children. But we have to know them first. And we have to practice them. Because if we teach the law to our children, but we don't practice it, guess what they're going to learn? Oh, they're going to learn that there's a law that they don't have to practice. No, we have to teach them. We have to learn it ourselves, and we have to practice it, and we have to teach it to them so that they will learn to practice by our example. That's what's important. Because if we don't practice it, they won't. They'll just be scribes and Pharisees that were called hypocrites because, yes, they learned the law and they had their own way of practicing it and making the law ineffectual. We don't want to be like that. And that's all you learn in all of the corporate churches of the Protestant daughters. Yes, the Protestant daughters of the Roman Catholic cult. Because, yes, they proclaim Reformation, yet, they practice Ashtaroth and idolatry. They allow the pollutions of their mother to come in, and they become what their mother was, a whore. And, of course, then they'd look to the state or another god for benefits, because they have forgotten his benefits. Because when you practice idolatry, you forget his benefits, and you start to look elsewhere for the benefits of the other gods. Forget none of his benefits. So we need to make known to our children a law he commanded that we should make it known to our children in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. That means those that are not born yet, who should arise and declare them to their children. So we want to teach our children to teach their children to teach their children. And we want to practice so that our children will learn to practice what we teach them, the law of our Heavenly Father, that we might not sin against him. And we need to teach him why. Because we love God, we keep his commandments. Because we love him, we desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. We need to teach them all of these things. The law, practicing it, and why we practice it. Because we love God. Because he sacrificed his own son for us. Because he loved us first. So we desire to live a life that's pleasing to him. Yes, for the prize and for the reward that comes with it. There is another motivational factor there involved. Not to be denied. Our Heavenly Father thought that reward was a great motivation. A great motivational factor that cannot be denied. And we may not achieve that motivation. See, the world. They practice wickedness because of the reward that they'll receive now. But we receive a reward that comes by faith, because faith is what? The evidence of things not seen. And that's where the faith comes in, because we don't receive our reward now. Our reward is eternal. So we deny the flesh, and we're willing to forego the rewards that are offered for the compromises and the temptations of this life, so that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, that who would arise and declare it to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying the bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness and gave drink as out of a great depths. He brought streams also out of a rock. He caused waters to run down like rivers, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. And he gave bread also. Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore Yahuwah heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna. And of course, manna, what is it? We talked about that. He rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. And of course, their corn is the word food, or the increase of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of the camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the land and the field of Zoan. He had turned the rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. And he sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. And, well, we've run out of time. We'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Remember, in everything you say and in everything you do every single day, praise and bless his holy name. Hallelujah.